Evening, everybody. It's great to see everybody out. I'm super excited, super excited I get to do this. I've wanted to do it for a long time, but I'm probably still not ready, but I'm just ready to share my heart with you guys, and hopefully this is just a task or a skill I really want to get good at. So I'm really thankful for the elder to let me do this, and really thankful for Brad and Tom and all the work they put in and let me come up here and speak for a little bit. And I'm also really thankful for all you guys, everyone that saw it fit to come out tonight, and for the purpose of fellowship. I think that's awesome. It's so evident your guys' love of the Lord, and I love being up at Purdue, but I especially love being here at home with all you guys here. So I really love everyone here. I guess Dad always says that when he starts out, but I'm not trying to be exactly like my dad. But so just to start out a little bit, I don't know if you guys know this. My mom's dad is a preacher, or was a preacher, and I've heard from many people that he was pretty good at it. My mom's brother, so my uncle, is a preacher. He's been a preacher for 20 years-ish, give or take. And I've listened to a lot of his stuff. I really enjoy him. My dad is a preacher. You guys know that. And you guys seem to put up with him pretty well. So if I'm no good at this, you can't blame it on my genetics. So it's on me. I'll take full responsibility for that. But tonight I'd like to share my heart with you guys. Hopefully I'm going to try to make it quick. It's like a devotional style type of thing. And I just want to talk about something I've been really thinking about a lot, which is just prayer. Something that can hopefully really strengthen you in your spiritual walk this week, and maybe it'll set with you well, and you can use it for a while. But when we come talking about prayer, you can talk about a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible. There's a lot of prayers, especially in the Psalms. There's specific characters that their prayers are recorded. And so you can talk about how to pray, how we ought to pray, our attitudes when we pray, what specific things to pray about. But tonight, I really just want to focus on persistence when we pray. Praying a lot. I talked to my uncle about this sermon, or about this, not a sermon, it's just a devotional. And he said, you ought to name it, we need to bug God with prayer. And I wasn't that bold. I just said, we need to be persistent with prayer. So we need to be persistent with prayer. Our main text through this is going to be Luke, the Gospel of Luke. If you read through Luke, there's a very, very evident theme of prayer. There's just a lot of little snapshots that Luke writes about Jesus' life, of just him making time to pray. I'm not going to have all the text on the board. Everyone brings their Bible. Most everybody brings their Bible. So I like to encourage you to read out of your Bible. It's just different from what my dad does. I think that's fine. I'm going to have the first few on because I want to kind of blaze through them and just get my point out and get you to see that there's a serious theme of prayer in Luke. And Jesus makes time for prayer. He makes it very apparent. So first part is Luke chapter 3. You can join me there. I encourage you to. If not, it's fine. I put it up on the board for right now, but I won't be here in a little bit. So just Luke chapter 3, verse 21, what we see is Jesus praying right after he's baptized. Right after he's baptized, he makes it a point to pray when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. Luke 5, Luke gives us this awesome little snapshot of Jesus here, and it says that he often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. This is right around the time that he's telling people, he's preaching and teaching and telling people to follow him. But he said, as the crowds were growing, Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Continuing on in Luke 6, verse 12, you see another snapshot again. He's talking about Jesus right before he picks his 12 apostles. He spends an entire night in prayer. An entire night praying to God. Continuing in Luke 9, it says, he's alone praying before his disciples and crowds he's alone praying when he asks the disciples what the crowds thought he was. So here he is, an example of him being alone, but still in a public place where his disciples were. Continuing in Luke 9, hopefully this is going right, just 10 verses later, he takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain specifically for the purpose of praying. This is just I don't know if you guys are seeing it, but this is very deliberate, to me at least, how evidence is going. And then finally, the last one I want to point out, Luke chapter 11. Jesus is praying in a certain place when he's asked, Jesus, teach us how to pray. So I think it's very apparent, and Luke does it purposely, to say Jesus sets an example throughout Luke. We ought to make time to pray. We ought to pray alone and with others. And then we ought to do it often. And there's never a time, the Bible doesn't tell us, there's a time when it's appropriate to not pray. So, contrasting to this, I think this all builds up into a parable that I want to spend the rest of our time in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, 1 through 8. If you want to turn with me, that'd be awesome. If not, I'll read it out loud for you. Just a little background on this parable. This is only in Luke. It's not in any of the other Gospels. I really like it, though. I don't hear much about it. I when I was reading it through it with our minister up in Lafayette, it's one of the only times I really heard much about it. And I really think it's neat. It's the point we don't hear about or think about a lot. Luke 18, 1 through 8, if you want to read it with me. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" The point I really want to focus on this is what Luke really highlights in the first verse. It says, the point of this parable, the point of Jesus teaching this, was to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Verse 1, I'll just reread it. "Now he was telling them this parable to tell them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart." In other words, we need to be persistent in prayer. And he illustrates it with this unrighteous judge and this poor widow. We're led to believe, we don't have any other context, any other clues in this passage, the widow got what she wanted other than because of her persistence. She didn't get it because it was the right thing to do. She didn't get it because she didn't get the thing, her plea, she wasn't granted what she was asking for because it was logical or it was the right thing to do judiciously. Not because the guy was just, but just because he bugged her. And this is how Jesus is touching. He bugged her. She bugged him, I apologize. But this is how Jesus is teaching us to pray. He's saying, we have to be like this widow, and we have to be persistent. The good news is our judge is not an unrighteous judge. That's what we are blessed with, and what we can be thankful for, is that our judge is compassionate. He cares for what's best for us. He's logical, and he's just. So my point that I really just want to get across is, if you really want something or need something, you've deemed that you need it, you've been hurt, you need help, you're worried, you're stressed about something, and you're not praying about it, are you really needing it that badly? Are you really that stressed? Is it worth being stressed about? Do you really need it? What a great way we have to show God that we want something in prayer. If we're not praying about it, is that something we really want? And so, I hope you guys know this movie. It's one of the first movies I ever saw. It's a Christmas Story. Not I ever saw, but I ever watched. First Christmas movie I ever saw. It came out in 1983, but I probably watched it like 5 or 6 years ago. And it's about this little boy who just, the main purpose, or one of the main plot lines, there's a lot of plot lines, but he really wants this Red Ryder BB gun, right? And so he asks his mom for it, and his mom is like, no, I think the line is, you're going to shoot your eye out, kid, or you'll shoot your eye out, kid, right? And so he's appalled. He's taken back. So what does he do? He goes up to one of the next high authorities he knows. He goes to his teacher, Miss Fields, I'm pretty sure is what it is. And he says, Miss Fields, or he was writing in a paper and says he wants so bad this Red Ryder BB gun. He puts together a pretty good little essay about it. He was pretty proud of it. And Miss Fields writes back on it. Everything was good, but you're like, you don't need this gun. You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Same response back. So then he, I think he gets the opportunity to go to the mall, and he finds out that Santa Claus is there. And that is the highest deity that he knows that can get him that gun for Christmas. And so he goes to Santa Claus, and he asks for what he wants. He goes, he's persistently pursuing, that makes sense, yeah. He's persistently pursuing what he wants, and he's chasing the best way to do it, I suppose. And I guess, again, he gets the same response from Santa Claus that, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. But that's beside the point. Just like the widow, he was persistent in asking for what he wanted. We should probably chase it a different way and go straight to God instead of the other way and kind of building up to it. But the point is, he was persistent in chasing after what he wanted. So, just in closing, this went by a lot faster than I thought it would, which is good. I didn't want to drag on. It's exactly what I wanted. Perfect. Nailed it. Just kind of bringing it all in a world with so much entertainment and technology that overtakes our time, are we making time to talk to God? There's so much to do. There's so much life to be lived. But when Jesus was on this earth, he made time to pray. That was in his schedule. He cut out things to go pray. I'm saying this to myself as well. Jesus placed an obvious emphasis on prayer. If he lived this way, why do we think that we can't? Why do we think that we can make it through this life without a way that he made it through this life so well? Does our prayer life reflect? I can't talk. Does our prayer life reflect that of our Savior's? If we're following him, we claim to be following him, we need to follow just about everything he did. And his prayer life is something that dramatically looks different than mine. And so that's something that I need to work on. I have a bunch of questions just like this written down. Do we make prayer our priority because Jesus did? So if the passages we read tonight make you want to make a change in your prayer habits, there's no better time to start than right now. If you heard this tonight and you're thinking, my prayer life's pretty good, just keep going. I encourage you. If you didn't get anything out of this, just keep doing what you're doing because it's going to make a huge difference in the long run. This evening, if you need help or prayers in growing in your spiritual walk in any way, or if you want to become a Christian, we have so many people here that want to see you grow and want to help you make it to heaven. I have this quote that I thought was really good from an old Penn State coach. He said, "Today you've got a decision to make. You're going to get better or you're going to get worse, but you're not going to stay the same." So, my point, if you need help, if you need prayers, if you need anything, come forward as we sing the invitation song.
When my way groweth drear, branches low.